Three, two, one. We are here.
It's us.
Are we doing a podcast?
I think we are.
We're doing a podcast. Hey, ladies and gentle people. How's it going? It's me. It's your guy. It's your friend. Your confidant, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by the lovely and the thankful co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Don't presume about my thankfulness. No, I'm very thankful. It's been presumed. Hi. It's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, and the Snowqueer on Tumblr, and Hello Steph on Instagram. One day I'll get my branding in order, but today is not that day. How you doing, Dom? Are you thankful?
You know what? I am. Things are going pretty well for me in a way, I'd say. So I think I should be thankful for that kind of stuff. That'd be fair, right?
I'd say so.
How's things going for you? You've been sick, you've been not sick. How are you feeling now? What's the good news? Is there any good news? Well, there's a sirens, so there's that.
Oh, so you can hear my sirens.
Yes, I can hear your sirens.
cut out there.
That's the thing. We always have technical challenges because that's part of being a podcaster.
Love the internet.
Who doesn't? The internet was totally not a mistake or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely not. Let's see. What did you ask me? Tell me again.
So yeah, for the listener's sake and for your sake, obviously, I was asking how you've been. You've been sick. You've been healthy. What's the good news? How's everything going?
Pretty good. I'm on the mend. It's slower than I would like. And this is like the whitest thing I could possibly say, but I'm glad that that Thanksgiving is a holiday where you eat a lot of like heavy, carby, somewhat bland food, because that's the kind of food that I'm allowed to eat right now.
Sometimes that's the journey you have to take, you know? Sometimes you can deal with spice, sometimes you get to go bland, and, you know, if it's for health reasons, I'm not going to shade you for that.
I was going to say, I would love to eat some spicy food, but I had some chips and salsa over the weekend, and that was probably a mistake, so...
You know what? You know that happens to the best of us, but it's not like we can fully enjoy the holidays anyway, because all the food's getting screwed up from like E. coli to make its grand return. So apparently not only did they get the romaine lettuce, it got the greens too, so like, that sucks.
Good thing I don't eat greens.
I mean, okay, good for you, but what about the rest of us? Like, some of us...
About the rest of us who actually have, like... delicious food, who actually think they're delicious.
Yes, that's so, you know, I'm kind of out of luck on that one, but it is what it is. What am I going to do?
Yeah, that's rough.
But, you know, it's fine.
Sorry for your loss.
You know what? You know what?
The loss of black people everywhere.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll soldier on. We've been through worse. So, let's talk about nerdy stuff, unless you have anything else you want to say before we get started.
I don't think so. I think we're good. It's a break, or I'm gonna sleep in tomorrow, and then I have to take a 3-hour train ride. But get to the same city, like.
Welcome to America, I guess, right?
Yeah, welcome to New York.
what do we got on the list today? What do we want to go over? What do we want to talk about?
Let's see. Let's talk about Venom real fast, because I finally saw that movie last night, and I've got some feelings about it.
Venom, huh?
Yeah, Venom. So, the thing about Venom is that if you're looking to watch it as, like, a serious, like, grimdark action movie, you're going to the wrong movie.
Oh, go on.
It fails pretty miserably in terms of being that. But, and like, overall, it's not a great movie, but it's really fun to watch because of the banter between Eddie and Venom. And like, there's definitely, like, I didn't come out of the movie like hardcore shipping the two of them, but there's definitely something to the people who are doing that. Like,
that's good to know that, you know, people kind of have a purpose for what they're doing sometimes.
Like, it's, yeah, because, like, sometimes you come out of a movie and you're like, that's what people are shipping? like, why? But, like, they definitely have, like, a very, like, flirtatious banter.
Okay.
And, like, even at the end, like, the scene where, like, at one point, like, Venom is in the body of his ex-fiance, and they, like, make out with Eddie, and, like, to move Venom back over to Eddie, and,
That's pretty specific.
Yeah, and then at the end, like, Eddie asks her about the kiss, and is like, what was up with that? And she was like, oh, that was your buddy's idea. Like,
that sounds like a plot contrivance that was totally for the writers, like, their own personal, like, feels.
Yeah, it was just like, there's just, like, a lot of, it's very funny, and, like, very, just, like, bumbling old Eddie, like, telling, like, arguing with, like, his symbiote, whether or not the symbiote can eat people today, like, and, like, also, there were surprising, besides Eddie as the main character, like, pretty much everyone else in the cast of note was either a woman or of color, or both. So, like,
That's pretty good. That's good to see.
Yeah, I was like, hey, like, I turned to my friend that I saw it with, and I was like, there were a lot of brown people in this movie. Like, what do you know?
And not just the bad guys, right?
No, yeah, like, his old boss, and the, like, the security guard at his old company, and, like, the lady who runs, like, and, like, they're, like, not, like, super on stereotypical roles, but they're presented in a very authentic way, like, the, like, Asian bodega lady, like, she's, like, very, just, like, she isn't written in, like, a corny, like, stereotypical way, you know, like.
So they actually, you know, went for some effort, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, and, like, Riz Ahmed is the villain.
Yeah, I've heard some good, I've heard good things about his portrayal of that villain, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it was like, and, like, I'm, like, so terrible with recognizing celebrities until I'm given their name. Like, I literally watched the entire movie, and I was like, I know who that is. And the same thing with his ex-girlfriend was played by Michelle Williams, and I was like, I know who that is. But I could not think of a name for it. And Jenny Slate is, like, the second scientist in command. And, like,
I don't know, any of those names.
I had to see all the, well, like, Michelle Williams, she was Heath Ledger's wife, and I've seen her literally from, like, 10 feet away in Cabaret.
I've never seen her. And at still, all. I don't know where she's from.
And still failed to recognize her. But it's whatever, it's fine. That's just my own personal face blindness, or, like, not even face blindness, like disconnectivity between name and person. But
yeah, I mean, that can happen. No one's gonna blame you for that. You know, there's a lot of people like that. I'll shoot some Brokeback Mountain too. Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't know celebrities like that. I guess it's probably a sign of not wasting too much time in one specific area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on Venom? Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it. I've just seen people talk about it a lot, so I don't really know what's going on with that.
I don't know. It's definitely... I don't know if I'm glad I saw it. I think I might have rather seen it on demand or something rather than paying the, like, $16.50 New York prices to see it.
That's gross.
But, yeah, but I... Like, I'm glad I saw it, and, like, also, last night was the, like, last second that I could have seen it, because all the movies that come out on Thanksgiving roll over tonight. So, like...
Oh, yeah, like, Wreck-It Ralph came out today, I think, right?
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph, too.
So I sacrificed $16.50 and went to Times Square to see this movie, so...
You put the work in.
Yeah, really making moves for Tom Hardy's sake, but...
Hey, you know what? Sometimes he's a good dude, from what I can tell.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
He always gets his face covered up, so, you know, let's go try to see it as much as possible, right?
Exactly. Gotta put in the work.
Yeah. So, okay. So this next thing, I guess we might as well go in some sort of thematic order. Mm-hmm. So, I've been hearing lots of good things about a bad movie, so that's good. sometimes you hear a lot of bad things about a bad movie, and sometimes it's worse than you think it is. So with that illustrious segue, you want to tell the people about J.K. Rowling's crowning gem?
Yes. I have never been... So here's a funny story, is that I know someone who was temping at Scholastic while they were working on the script book, because they've been, like, publishing will take money where I can get it, and so they've been publishing the, like, the scripts of these movies as, like, jacketed hardcovers. And so all the people who worked at Scholastic got comp tickets to see Crimes of Grindelwald. And, she had an extra, she got two, so she messaged me the morning of the showing and was like, hey, how do you feel about Harry Potter? And I wrote back and I said, I'm surely glad that J.K. Rowling wrote 7 books and then went full J.D. Salinger and never came out of her house again, like, or spoke about the series ever again. And she was like, yeah, so I have an extra ticket to the screening tonight.
That's a very strong opinion.
But all of my social justice friends, not a single one of them wants to go to it. Like, and I don't blame them.
Well, that's the thing. Like, from what I can tell, if you could get past any social justice inclinations that you might have, all you get rewarded.
It's still a bad movie.
Like, it's just a crap movie on the other end.
It's just like the arguments that I've seen, like, in addition to it being like bad from like a race perspective, and bad from like a character development perspective, and bad from like a why was Johnny Depp the hill that David Yates and J.K. Rowling died on perspective, since apparently his performance, like, he could have been subbed in with like a much sexier lamp and it would have been fine. Like,
well, I think sometimes you want to trade, sometimes you know you're like going to release something that's going to be soft on arrival. So you're like, you know what? Let's put some controversy around this. Maybe that'll save the movie. And then it doesn't save the movie.
Yeah, even then. Like, and apparently even, like, and this is all scuttlebutt. Like, honestly, I've read a lot of spoiler reviews. I would not give my money to go see this. Like, my mom offered to buy me a ticket, and I was like, I don't want you to give your money for me to go see this. Like, but like even at the beginning of the movie, apparently they have like Grindelwald like trying on different like faces and appearances. They could have just changed it. Like, they had given themselves the out and they didn't take it.
Almost like on purpose, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's almost like, it's almost like a dick move, like, to throw it in the faces of people who were pissed off about his casting or his continued casting.
The police are literally going for him right now.
Yes, the cops are coming.
The most sustained siren probably on this show, because we dared mention he who must not be named.
But yeah, like, apparently they introduce Zoe Kravitz's character and then kill her off.
Good, that's great.
Yeah, the Korean lady who's playing Nagini, like, apparently she is only there to like fawn over Ezra Miller's character for the entire movie. Like, Ezra Miller is honestly like the only pure person in this film anymore. Like, even
nope,
like
not anymore.
Well, is this about the Darren Wilson thing?
Probably.
Okay. Well, there's like, people have been like cancel culturing him because, like, that Playboy shoot came out, the interview that had him in, like, all, like, gender-bendy...
Yeah, I remember that.
...outfits, and everyone was, like, super excited about it, and then, like, all the cancel culture people descended to tell everyone that he made a documentary back in 2016 that was, like, from the perspective of Darren Wilson, the cop that shot Mike Brown.
Did he do that?
And he did do that, but it was, like, not straight documentary. It was, like, trying to point out how shitty Darren Wilson was and how unjustified it was. So, like,
that's a move that I see the benefit of doing that. That said, I don't think I would have tried that.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't have tried it, but also, like, people who are, like, calling him, like pro-cop and racist and stuff are, like, not on the right track there. This, like, very much, like, reactive, like It's like that cancel culture thing. Like, yeah. This person did a bad thing once. You can't like them.
Yeah. It's weird because there's the one hand, people are like, yo, I don't care what this guy's perspective was. It was wrong. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Like, I don't know how much else you could flesh out. On the other hand, like, I don't know if I personally will cancel someone for saying, yo, Darren Wilson's a shitty dude. But I would definitely be like, hey, you're kind of doing that one thing that people do when they're not part of a specific marginalized group. Like, marginalized groups do this to each other. And try to say, oh, hey, I want to say something profound about this. It's like, you know what? It wasn't necessarily a necessary thing to do. Like, you're not canceled. Yeah. They're looking at you like, what are you...
Yeah, it feels like...
Like, you're like not a racist, but you're doing something weird by doing... Like, if a white person had been, like, hey, I want to direct Fruitvale Station, but I'm going to, like, play the cop, who was obviously a racist, to point out that this was racist. It's like, well, that's a weird thing to do. Like, yeah, I guess that was a pretty fucked up situation. So I'm glad the movie got made. But depending on, like, the perspective, it's like, well, why did we need this kind of thing?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's definitely... like, why do we have to keep seeing things for, like, why can't we just trust what people of color say or something, rather than having to present it to white people through a white lens, like, in order for them to understand.
Yeah, it's more of like a bad take than like a flaming take, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but To jump back to the Harry Potter movie.
Hey, Logan, I'm just saying that was the most original. I feel like that's the most original thing we could say about this, because, like...
No, yeah, like, there's a lot of...
I kind of want to dog on J.K. and Johnny Depp, like... I feel like,
yeah,
the first movie set us up to already do that enough.
Yeah, like, apparently, like, this has made the least money of any Harry Potter movie ever for opening weekend. Like,
yeah, that seems...
No one's shocked.
Yeah, that's... Look, that would, honestly... I'm not here to keep devil's advocating you. I feel like that would be true even if it would have been a good movie.
Like, probably, yes, just like, because,
Fantastic,
like...
Fantastic Beasts the least before this one? Like, I imagine it would have been, right?
I don't know, maybe. I would, yeah, I imagine so, like, because it's just, like, not what the canon is interested in, but, like...
Yeah.
Or, like, not, like, true to the... to, like, the most... like, important part of the books. Like, it's not, like, a direct adaptation or anything, but, like...
Right. It's secondary stuff, which is still interesting, don't get me wrong. I mean, like, Rogue One and Han or Solo did numbers.
Yeah, and, like, but those were, like, movies that filled a space in a story that, like, may or may not... Like, Rogue One felt more interesting narratively than Solo did, but, like, all, like, in terms of adding to the Star Wars universe, but, like, both of those filled a spot in the canon that, like, there was interest in, I feel like. Like, apparently in this, like, the main character, Newt Scamander, and the titular Fantastic Beasts are, like, an excuse to have, like, this, like, huge, like, Wizarding War thing going on, and there's, like, one scene with beasts in it, like...
That's...
very, like...
That's kind of... I don't like that. I think... What am I thinking? There's other stories you could tell in the Harry Potter world.
There are so many other stories.
Well, not only that, I don't think you need a framing excuse, you know what I mean? Like, if you just call it, I don't know, like the Wizarding World of Hogwarts or something, you could just, like, do stories. Like, I'm not going to say that... Go ahead.
Like an anthology show.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to say that we don't want to know about what Grindelwald was doing. Like, do we need to? Not necessarily, but, like... What you said he's like Magic Hitler? Like, how did this happen? Yeah. Like, you just alluded to the fact that this happened. Maybe you want to tell that story. Okay. We don't need Newt as a background and his Pokemon to, like,
yeah,
be
all
set
like,
up.
This doesn't need to be the framing method for this story.
Yeah, like, I would have, like, just watched that in general. Like, I would have watched Newt on his own. You didn't have to, like, shell game me into seeing Johnny Depp, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. And, like, apparently, like, they screw up canon a lot. Like, Professor McGonagall's teaching at Hogwarts, like, 20 years before she was born.
Oh, so it's like, it's like Overwatch fandom.
yeah, exactly. It's like McCree all over again. All these people with Scottish last names. and, like, it's just a mess. It's just a big old mess, and I'm glad it's bad. It deserves, J.K. Rowling deserves everything that she gets for this. And
she's still gonna make.
And they're still making 3 more movies.
Maybe they'll actually improve. I mean, in the sense that, like, it seems like the second one in a trilogy or series always kind of suffers a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, they can probably only go up from here. Like,
I mean, you say that.
From what I can. Well, yeah, I do say that. It doesn't.
You know what series?
It could be.
You know what series? I love the way it handled its secondary plots.
Hmm.
Well, you know it's coming, Sonic the Hedgehog, baby.
I was gonna say, is it Sonic?
It was not the games, though. The games did a horrible job at fleshing out the world in any kind of way. Like, the game story was was negligible. It was just fun. I liked it. But the comics, I think, is almost worth considering in a whole other thing. Kind of like how the Overwatch comics are much better at story than the games. The game. But what Sonic did, it had, like, those, I think, like, 3 series that were out at once or something. No, it was just 2 at first, but there was, you know, the Sonic comic and the Sonic Universe comic, which was basically like, here's the main story and what Sonic's doing, or like what's very important to what he's doing, like why are we watching this? And then like, okay, what's going on in the universe? Like, oh hey, maybe there's this backdrop of, I don't know, some world ending event, like the arc that finished the Archie version off. You know, everyone, like, stuff happens at night. It's weird. The Earth is like half destroyed or something. But in this world, what is everybody else doing? Like, oh, what's Knuckles up to now that, like, the floating island is, like, in limbo? Oh, let's go on an adventure with him. Where's Sonic? We know where he's at. He's doing something else. Like, he's not the only character. There's, like, 40 friends. Like, oh, hey, what's Shadow and Team Dark doing? Oh, they're on a mission. They went to space for some reason. That's cool. I'll read that for 4 issues that are fleshing out the world and fleshing out the characters, but they're not related. And I feel like you said, an anthology series would be good. Like, oh, what was, you know, during the 7 years, well, the first 5, I guess, years of Hogwarts, what was Draco doing, like, while Harry was on adventures? Like, he got punched by Hermione in, like, the end of the 3rd one, but what was he doing the hour and a half before that, you know? What was Hufflepuff doing for most of this? I don't know, I didn't really read the books or watch the movies, so they may have been doing something important. But, like, what were the Dursleys doing? I'd watch a half an hour episode of that. Like, I don't need to see a series, but I'm curious, like, like, oh, you know what? That Harry's an asshole. Like, oh, okay, cool. I'm glad I know that now. I just feel like there's potential to be mined, and you don't have to, like, make it the big, huge thing.
Yeah, like, I was thinking, like, so, like, this is, like, a sideways kind of comparison, but, like, Stuff You Should Know recently started a new series called Short Stuff, which is, like, 10 to 15 minute episodes about stuff that they think is interesting, but doesn't have enough content about it to make like a 40 or 50 minute episode, which is like their usual length of episode. And like, that's the kind of content, like bites of content that I feel like could benefit the Harry Potter universe.
How short was it again?
Whereas like 10 to 15 minutes, like in podcast terms. So like if you could scale it up to a movie, it would be like a half hour for like an episode.
Just checking what you like, that's all. But
there's so much. But like, also, like, even in that, I would kind of only want J.K. to, like, if she were going to investigate other parts of the Harry Potter universe, I wouldn't want her to leave the UK to do it, because all of the shit that she's said about like magic schools abroad and like all sorts of, and like everything else, like magic in the US and stuff, has been so bad and culturally insensitive that I don't need anything about American magic, because J.K. Rowling does not understand the first thing about American culture or history.
No, that's totally fair. She seems like somebody who would make like a good, what they call it, like a series Bible or something like that. Like, or like a style guide, like, hey, here's how magic works, here's some character, not even getting their demographic, because I don't trust her on that, here's some character tropes, some archetypes, here's some plot lines, now run this by somebody who is not even necessarily culturally sensitive, but culturally aware, to say, hey, just letting you know, If you publish this, someone's going to get upset. Personally, I don't like, I don't know, this editor could be like, I don't like these XYZ kinds of people, or genders, ages. But I'm just letting you know, if you say this, they're going to get upset, JK, so you don't have blowback. Which maybe she has that. Maybe she does know this is going to piss people off and doesn't care, but I'm assuming that's not the case. But like, oh, hey, we're going to have an American magic story. Hey, JK, we need some style guide. We're not going to really... We need a plot. We just need you to not build the culture. Yeah. That's what it is, I think. Like, she wrote a character named Cho Chang. Like, what's going on? Like, she wrote Cho Chang.
Like, I feel like the American magic was, like, the beginning of the end for JK, because she had, like, one magic school for the entire U.S. that was a British-style boarding school. The Americans had brought magic over when they... Or the British had brought magic over when they came. The Native Americans didn't have any magic of their own. And the... But they also, the houses at the magic school were, like, named after Native American creatures. And, like...
So, wait. So, hold on.
Like, everything was bad.
So, there was... Let's take out any chances of, like, racism or that. Like, that doesn't play consistently. Like, if the Native Americans didn't have magic, why would houses be named after, like, magical things from their culture? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like, it just, like, it implies that they just didn't know that they were magic, or, like...
But that's actually interesting, though. Like, if the Brits came over and didn't know the natives had magic, because there's been a history of Europeans going places and not knowing people could do things like, oh, the pyramids must have been from aliens, because why would someone be smart enough to do that? I don't know, we just were. Like, what are you talking about? Like, Egyptians could figure it out. But colonizers and settlers and conquistadors said you couldn't have figured that out. So it'd be interesting if JK had the
fortitude, like, subversive magic.
Or even just to say, like, we went over there and their magic was different, so we assumed they didn't have it because, yeah, we're kind of racist over here. And we kind of fucked that one up. Like, they did have magic the whole time. That's why the houses are named after their creatures, because we saw these creatures, or perceived these creatures, and assumed that it wasn't the natives doing it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which, handled by someone aware of that stuff, could be deeply fascinating. You know what I mean? Like, that you could do stories about appropriation, about cultural identity, sharing, egoism, colonialism. Like, you do some interesting stuff, all with the background of, like, a giant fire serpent. Like, this all could work. Like... I don't know, that would be cool. Would you watch a sports anime, but it was Quidditch as the sport? JK is not the one enjoyable. Writing it.
Like, yeah, I'm just saying,
like, that's the sport.
If it had fun character dynamics, I would. Like, that's why I would watch any sports anime.
That's fair, that's a good point. Is Pokemon a sports anime? Technically?
I think so. It's like cockfighting. Like, are we segueing?
I wasn't trying to. I completely forgot. That was just me being an ass. Yeah, let's segue. Let's jump over. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. Let's go.
That was on purpose. Pokemon Go and Pokemon Let's Go. Updates. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee are out.
They exist in the world.
My roommate actually picked up, Let's Go... I want to say Pikachu. I believe he got Pikachu.
Nice.
Yeah, and looking at the game, the mechanics of catching Pokemon and wild Pokemon are very similar to Pokemon Go. The battling, though, is very easy. From what I can tell, from watching and from what I saw in reviews, it's supposed to be very casual friendly and not like in a derogatory way. It's just the mechanics of Pokemon in its more full sense is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of powered through it when we were younger on Red, but there were like some deep mechanics in there. There's like some wild ass math. You should look it up one day, like how it's determined if you catch a Pokemon with certain Pokeballs. Like, there's actually deep, deep math behind it. It's really stupid, but it's kind of cool to look at. Kind of like that Mario 64, first I've got to tell you about parallel dimensions thing. It's like, it's wild shit on that magnitude. But they kind of boiled it down to exactly what it is, you know, and made the battles look like the multipliers are better. So in the games, I think it's called same type advantage bonus or something. It's called like a stab bonus. I'm so entrenched in this, I forgot what it means. But basically, if a Pikachu uses an electric attack, it's going to do more than if he used like any other type attack. Like, you know, if you use a type that's yours, you do more. And then you take like the advantage you'd get against strength. So if you use an electric type against water, it's going to do double damage or something. And then as a Pikachu, do even more. But they increase those multipliers, it seems like, so you get a lot more one shots if you're type savvy, which is fine. Actually, a lot of people are like, that's cool. This sometimes these games go a little bit slow through the first few parts anyway. But to say all that, it's more casual friendly in a good way, because people are saying there's a lot of people come from Pokemon Go. There's a lot of people, this might be their first Pokemon game. It's like basically a 20-year-old franchise, I think, the other day. So yeah, and people are like, yeah, it's really easy and it's fun. Like, I don't need everything to be super difficult. I've played 7 generations plus of Pokemon, maybe. I don't need to go through Yellow with it being hard again. Like, I can just put my Pikachu in outfits, pet my Eevee, ride around a Rapidash, like, have fun. Like, it's nice to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I am, as you know, it's a Switch game, right?
Yes, it is for the Nintendo, like, Switch.
I haven't a Switch, and I don't plan to purchase one anytime soon because I'm poor. Excuse me. But there have been, like, some fun, like, crossovers to put regular Pokemon Go from the Let's Go launch. The first one that I am most pleased about is called Adventure Sync, which basically just, instead of needing to have the app open and running anytime you want that Pokemon to log your steps, it just syncs it to, like, your step counter, like, the iPhone step counter, or, like, whatever, like, Apple Health or whatever, or whatever it is on your phone of choice.
That's a 2-year late feature, holy hell.
Seriously, it's so much nicer because, like, and then it just, like, sends you a notification if, like, your buddy found a candy or, like, an egg's about to hatch. Instead of making you keep it open the whole time, which is great for me because it's too cold to go running anymore. And that was how I was hatching most of my eggs over the summer, is I would literally, like, go running with Pokemon Go open on my phone in my hand and, like, run for half an hour and then come back and something would have hatched. But, like, so that's real nice. The other thing is that there are, like, some, just, more frequent spawns and stuff. Like, there have been a lot of Eevees and Pikachus in the game, which are typically not as frequent spawns.
It's like a lot of quality of life changes, it sounds like.
Yeah, like, I got a shiny Eevee the other day. I was very excited. I evolved it into a green Jolteon.
What color is shiny Eevee?
It's, like, just, like faded. It's, like, silverish.
Okay.
It's more like Eevee with, like, a silver filter over it. Like, it's still got, like, kind of brownish tones, but, like, paler.
Okay.
But I was excited about my green Jolteon. And also I think that they did this to sync up with the Let's Go release, but the Meltan, the legendary Pokemon quest is running now. So, like, the special research tasks, like, they give you, like, there are, like, 9 rounds of, like, giving you, like, random tasks to do, like Meltan looks like it's a steel type Pokemon, so let's catch 5 steel type and 5 electric type Pokemon. Like,
okay, like missions and stuff.
Like little missions to like earn your way up to, like, actually getting the chance to catch a Meltan. Because they did that for Mew and Celebi before.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Okay. And, you can sync it. I think just with Gen 1 stuff, you can send that back and forth between Let's Go and Go.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, from what I can tell.
Yeah, so, like, I'm I'm pretty excited about that. The only thing that is making me a little crazy is that every time I see let's go, like, since the go is capitalized, like, the way you read it in your head is, like, yelling go, and all I can think of is that video that where they synced up Billy Eichner over the Captain America video where he's like, let's go, lesbians, let's go! That's literally every time. It's the only thing I can think of.
That's funny. Oh, and what was the third change you were talking about? Was it the Sinnoh stuff?
Yeah, Sinnoh Pokemon have finally dropped. I don't think I mentioned that last week.
No, when did it happen?
It's been like a slow rollout for a while. The way they did it was at first they didn't have any of the like evolutions like Sneasel or like Murkrow or whatever, things that have an evolution in Sinnoh but didn't before.
Yeah, I saw Weavile's there now. My friend caught one.
Yeah, like those weren't showing up at first, and the way it would feed out let me pull up my Pokedex. If you had only caught a Turtwig, all it would show in the Sinnoh Pokedex was the first block, but then if you caught up to like a Sphinx, you would see like the first like 15, and then like the further you caught, the more would populate. So like I caught a Giratina in a raid, and so now I think I have the entire Pokedex is populated.
I think that's kind of how it used to work
at the end.
Yeah, I think that's how it worked in the games, like it would hide a certain amount. Who's in there now? Cresselia is like the opposite of, I guess, Giratina. I don't know how to pronounce any of these.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. That we'd each go soft and hard G, respectively. That makes sense.
the Cresselia is the new...
Yeah, it's the kind of opposite to Homie G. Yeah, it's a dream type one rather than nightmare, so... It was also from Sinnoh, Diamond, and Pearl, but yeah, that's pretty cool. It's good to see more legendaries and stuff coming out.
I did fight 3 whole Giratina raids before I caught one. The first 2 got away. I was so mad. I was like, if I run out of fucking time to catch this stupid, house centipede dragon,
does it have both forms? I guess that doesn't make sense. Is it on 4 feet or is it like a worm?
Let me back up.
Because I know in when they released Platinum, which was the Diamond and Pearl sequel rather than the Silver and Gold sequel, it got a spirit form in like some negative zone type thingy, so it started to fly rather than walk around like a...
He's on all 6 feet.
6 feet, okay. Big old, just nasty.
They are on
monster.
All 6 feet. This Pokemon does not have a gender.
Nope, because legendary Pokemon are genderless, except for Heatran, which was a pseudo-legendary. Legendary. But that's good. Sinnoh Pokemon are pretty cool. That's when I got back into the Pokemon after my edgy teen phase, and so the Shinx, Luxio, Luxray line was definitely my favorite from that generation. I always was sure to catch one. And their Pidgey analog was pretty cool too. I forget what it starts as.
Starly,
yeah. It turns into something else and then Staraptor.
Staravia.
Yeah, Staravia like and that, Staraptor. Yeah. Oh man. If you got a bird type and electric type, I dare someone to mess with you. Except a rock, but I mean, I dare someone to mess with you.
they're pretty cool so far. It's funny. Like at the beginning, like there were a ton of like very like the Rattata analog, like the Doof, and like Starly, the Pidgey analog, and like your standard like grass, fire, water types. Just running around like Chimchar, Turtwig, and Piplup. Like, I have not seen a frickin' Piplup since we were on vacation, and I'm really annoyed about it.
Little penguin homies.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed about it because I evolved one up to Empoleon, but I like to have one of everything, and so all I have is a Piplup and an Empoleon now because I evolved the middle one.
Oh yeah, teenage one.
The teenage one, yeah, and I don't have enough candy or another Piplup to evolve. But
you'll get there.
We'll get there.
What's next? Let's save our big topic for last in case we want to split it.
Okay.
So do we want to do our Overwatch minute like we always do? It's not. Let's do an
Overwatch minute.
Yo, Overwatch. Yo, they're selling like a.
This is what you're here for, right?
They're selling like a guide, like a world guide. Oh, okay. So context. You're gonna hear me clicking around. So, Blizzard, just their whole company, everything they have on sale in their gear store, for all their games, which could be like a Hearthstone bottle, the Cupid
Deck, the
vinyls. Go ahead.
I'm really annoyed because I was making a Christmas list for my mom last week, and it appears that they have taken their Brigitte, I like to exercise because I loved eating shirt off the site, which...
I think that means it's sold out.
It is annoying. Like, at least give me, like, a link, like, to a page so that I can say, like, let me know when this is back in stock.
Oh, yeah. Hey, classic Blizzard motto, it's coming. When it's done.
We didn't do the thing you wanted because that would be most convenient for you.
Yeah. But all their franchises are represented. I guess I don't know if they're going to count. Let's see. Are they counting like their other stuff? No, they're not counting like Call of Duty and Destiny and stuff, because those are technically the Activision half, but all the Blizzard half. But, you know, there's stuff like leggings, the stuff from BlizzCon, t-shirts, shot glasses, but it's all like on major sale. So if you're into Overwatch League stuff, all that stuff's like super, super marked down. I'm going to just pull something up real quick just to give you all an example of what I mean. Let's say you're looking for one of those authentic jerseys that ran $85. They're $21.25. Say you like those sweet performance jackets. They're super sick. They normally run for $120. They're $30 right now. So like... even if you don't really, home jerseys that don't have a name on the back, run for $60. They're $15 right now. So even if you don't really bang with Overwatch like that, there's some good gear that might be nice to have, and there's some good colors. So Pittsburgh.
They got a Hunter's Park jersey up there yet?
No, they don't have the new teams out yet. So
that's a bummer. That's the one I would spend money on, even though I do not know anything about professional Overwatch.
Yeah, so I'd look out next year, because that stuff's probably going to be on sale around this time for super cheap, or at least later. There's like dresses and stuff and hats and bottles. But and they're selling a comic anthology. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So I was looking through this just to look for stuff that I either wanted to buy myself or ask for Christmas, like this D.Va keychain. And there's I don't know what it's called. It was like a field guide or something. You know how sometimes they'll release lore books for various, for various properties. Like, Steven Universe probably has some. Let me just find this thing, because you're going to have this laugh with us, people. You're going to enjoy this. So they have a comic book. Very nice. Notebooks. Lots of good stuff. The Nendoroids are even on sale. That's kind of weird, but that's pretty cool. So if you look for those... where's this thing at? I'm almost there. I think a wall calendar. Oh, okay. Overwatch World Guide. Check this bad boy out. So you're just looking at the front. Tracer, Winston, Lucio. What more can we need? Also, just remember, Lucio's super short. The back of this. He is. From time-jumping Tracer to genetically engineered Winston, from cyborg Genji to athlete Zarya, blah blah blah, this official guide is a perfect introduction to the scientists, soldiers, and adventurers who make up the world of Overwatch. Discover each hero's story and which unique abilities and weapons they bring to the battlefront. Get to know the awesome environments of the Overwatch landscape, too. So just from a start, Anna's not even in this picture. The first year there is, like, this is hella old. I don't know when it came from. And it's probably cute or whatever. It's probably some nice art. But, like, I guarantee... I would wager money that it says D.Va's a pro StarCraft player in this book. And that's not canon anymore, because the canon's a big old mess. This book's probably a joke. Like, there's no way this joke...
They don't have... like, there's no... like, solid, like complete canon to this universe. Like, we dunk on it every week, like.
And I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love this franchise. I love the world of it. But the lore is kind of a mess. You could buy that, or you could go over to the Hearthstone Innkeeper's Tavern cookbook. Look, it doesn't matter how much your lore changes. A cookbook will always cook food. They don't do patches to food. Your pepper will always be pepper. I just saw that. It was kind of a laugh to me. Like, all that build up and all that shilling for capitalism was just to tell you a little joke about how I don't have faith in this field guide being as viable as they're probably hoping it would be.
Yeah, like, the joke will probably end up being on us. Like, no one's gonna buy this book, and it's going to be, have, like, just, like, a bulleted list of the gays. would be the ultimate dunk.
That would be the ultimate dunk. So I don't feel that Blizzard is keeping any secrets. I just don't think that it's written yet. Michael Chu knows. I guarantee you he knows or has an idea. When you write something, you just think about it. Like, he probably has an idea. In fact, I'm not going to shame the man for the canon changing in his head. I have characters that I make. They change in my head all the time. But once you put out in the world, then it kind of becomes half canon.
Yeah.
So that makes it kind of weird. But, you know, we dunk on it, but we love it. It's fun. The other big Overwatch news this week, I guess, well, there's a free weekend going on right now, in a cell, but if you watch streamers, you can get, like, space for the new character Ashe, but there's been a lot of turbulence in the community because, famed streamer Seagull, you know, probably the second most famous Overwatch streamer, probably the best Overwatch streamer in my opinion, that's up to opinion though. Really humble guy. I think he's from Washington State. Don't stalk the guy. I mean, you can find it. I don't know why I brought that up, but he's an American Overwatch player. Really one of the first people who, like, rocked the shit out of Genji, like, really showed, like, oh man, this dude's sick. And also was really good at Hanzo, and he's really one of those players who can play everybody. Like, he's definitely a flex player. Like, you want him on DPS? But, like, he's like, yo, guys, D.Va's, it's easy. Like, you can just eat Zarya's ultimate. It's simple. You should predict it, guys. It's easy. And you watch, like, this guy's a prodigy at this game. This is ridiculous. But he released this, like, 20-minute video on his YouTube channel, which he normally doesn't do, kind of talking about how, where the game's at, why a lot of people are unhappy. And he really spoke from, like, a not pro level, but, like, a high level kind of thing, just talking about, you know, he has pro experience. He retired from playing pro because he wanted to foster his dream because he felt bad for those or the people that built him up, and then he kind of abandoned them during pro season. And he felt bad about that. Very solid guy. But he's like, yeah, you know, people get kind of fed up from, like, not being able to play the game. Like, it's very frustrating. There's a lot of features that would be, that need to be looked at, and we feel like we're kind of left in the dark. You know, a lot of people put a lot of time in my, like, there's people that stream hours and hours of this game, spend tons of money on merchandise, put their heart and soul into cosplay, fan fiction, fan art, like, people go to the wall for this property, and, you know, it's like, we only spent the initial $50 for most of us. Like, the streamers, they're not really spending a lot of money on this game besides just what they initialed. So it's not like we're feeding into the machine. It's, we love this property for, you know, what it is, like, the gameplay mechanics, the characters, what it may be. And it just kind of feels bad where it's at right now. We're kind of being left in the dark what's happening next. And they don't owe that to us, but it's kind of like, you're trying to foster this pro scene, and the pros are being very frustrated because there's a character like Brig who can shut down a lot of what people want to do, and enables the other five characters to be a bad meta right now. Like, there's compositions that are just really annoying to play against and annoying to play. So it's one thing when you're like, oh, I'm Tracer, I'm better than you, you can't do anything to stop me, but at least I'm having fun, versus, well, you can't stop me, but I'm not having fun either, but I have to do this to win because I'm a professional, that's our job. So there's, like, a lot of stuff about that, kind of saying there's some features that feel like they should have been in a game to this caliber by now, and, you know, not saying the game programming is easy, development isn't easy by any means, but you would think a company with the millions of dollars, like, millions and millions and tens of hundreds of millions that Blizzard has, we'd be able to see some quicker iteration on some things, like, oh, hey, this, we had a bad meta for, like, 6 months, like, Mercy was overpowered for 6 months, like, Bronze player said that. Platinum players said that, Grandmaster players and pros were like, hey, you know, this character's, I resonate with her, but maybe can, like, she be tuned a little bit so that other healers feel relevant, like, if you don't have her on your team, you basically lose if the other team does, and it took Blizzard, like, a long time to fix that, and you're like, hey, it, not saying game development's easy or the solution would have been easy, but you have a test server, so why didn't you, like, change some number values for a while, just to see what happened, you know, So he kind of talked about that frustration, and, like, within 2 days, like, they had to close a thread on the official Blizzard forums because people were going wild, like, Reddit was blowing up on the Overwatch subreddits, and within a few days, we saw, like, some huge changes to Brig and Doomfist because they were unfun to play against, and it's more like, will this be good, will this be enough, is this a positive thing, we don't know, but it's kind of like, just test it, like, you guys have a whole thing for testing, like, let us know some things that are going on, because we want to have faith, but we're kind of losing it in a way. There's some really good conversation and some really good stuff. There's a lot of intelligent people in the community and a lot of passionate people, so that's kind of been the big stir recently. So hopefully we see some cool stuff. I don't know. That's the analysis report, I guess. Well, that's boring for a lot of people, but that's the kind of stuff that it fascinates me. You know, it's kind of like probably the conversation they were having before they invented the shot clock in basketball. You know, like, man, there's some people doing some really cheap stuff that's not against the rules. Like, should we fix this? I don't know. Can we alley-oop the ball? Can we dunk the ball? Like, we never saw someone do that before. That wasn't even an option before. Like, do we make that illegal? Do we make it harder to do? What do we do? I think you hit that point in the game where you don't have, like, a billion characters like League of Legends. League of Legends has a lesbian character, so that's cool.
The whatchamacallit, the chameleon lady.
Yeah, so she's gay, that's cool. Riot's still fucking with people. They're kind of a shit company in a few ways. Bad work culture, very sort of misogynist to work at, apparently. But I would say they produce a good game. I've never played League of Legends, and I've never heard someone say, man, that time I played League of Legends was fun. but they're doing something right, because it's one of the most popular esports in the world, so it's probably a good game, but people aren't good. So, that's League news 2 weeks in a row. What is this? What is this podcast? Wow.
And both of them were like, man, Riot has a good lady, but is a bad company.
Yeah. Riot's like, hey, gays, pay attention. And the gays are like, we are. Get your shit together.
We are. Let your employees unionize.
It would be unfair to put that solely on Riot, but they're the ones who are fucking up right now, so. Some other news. There's Gamer Awards coming out from CBS. Did you see anything about this floating around today?
I have not seen anything about this.
So real quick, before we jump into that, the Steam Awards are out. That's something else, but Steam did awards for various things, and the categories are weird to make. And they don't seem to be based on any specific time limit. Best soundtrack, for instance, was Cuphead, but it was up against Nier Automata, Transistor, Crypt of the Necrodancer, and Undertale. And these games have come out, like, over the past,
like 10 years.
Yeah, there's been a few years. So, like Cuphead was the better than I expected game, which is fair, but also went up against, like, Assassin's Creed Origins and, like, Call of Duty World War II, which came out, like, more recently. Sonic Mania is definitely a year old because it just got an expansion. So, I don't know what's going on. Like, I guess these all kind of came out last year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
These are last year. Okay. I get it now. So, this is last year's awards. However, a lot of these, like I said, Transistor came out in 2014 and Cuphead came out in 2017. So, but they're going to start again, I guess, this year. There's going to be new things you can vote for. So, if you care about it, check that out. I didn't get in the nominees because I just realized the mistake that I made. Okay. You got to nominate your own games or log in. I haven't checked into it. But this is more pertinent to everybody else's interest, the Gamer Awards. Are going to be on CBS, I believe, but of course you can watch on all your streaming platforms. So you want to hear some of these categories real quick, Steph? There's a ton of them, but...
Yeah, hit me up.
So I'll start with the Esports Awards. There's Best Esports Game and Best Esports Player, presented by Omen by HP, so I wonder if that's rigged. Best Esports Player, two of the highlights for me are Sonic Fox, Dominique McLean, and I'm not going to mispronounce his name, that'd be bad of me, but Jonak from the New York Excelsior and Overwatch's team. Those are the two that I'm torn between, and a bunch of other guys that I don't know because I don't follow other games, but they're from, like, other esports orgs. Best esports game, obviously, you know what those would be. But there's best debut indie game, that's pretty cool. Best student game. Best content creator of the year. Ninja's on there. I wouldn't vote for myself, but it was like best esports moment. This list is messed up because it's just going everywhere. I don't understand how it works. but game of the year is an interesting category. So you have like Assassin's Creed Odyssey, right? God of War, Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Monster Hunter World. Big AAA releases. But also Celeste is on there, which is a good game and it deserves to be up there. I'm just shocked that it is. And it shows up in a few other places. But there's things like best game direction, best narrative, best art direction, best score and music, presented by Spotify, of course. Best audio design, presented by Dolby Digital Surround Sound. So your corporate performance, your corporate stuff's in there, but they have best, they have games for impact, best performance, and I think that's, if it was up to me, based on how everyone acted this year, it would It's probably going to go to that Connor dude from Detroit Become Human, because why wouldn't it? But there's the person who voiced Cassandra in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which a lot of people liked, and Christopher Judge as God of War, or as Kratos from God of War. Which is funny that Kratos is voiced by a black guy, and I don't know what Kratos looked like before he got covered in all the white ash, so maybe he was a black guy or brown, but there's that meme from the beginning of the year, boy. So, like, maybe he will win. People liked that performance. Best independent game, best mobile game, all this kind of stuff, VR, action game, and then it gets into, like, the stereotypical categories, but apparently it's presented by CBS. Watch all kinds of places you can go vote on it, whatever. I don't know. Make a difference. I'd say your vote counts, but, like, you can vote, like, once every hour or something, so, like, no one vote counts that much, probably. You have to vote, like, 24 times a day for your full day to count, so who knows what's going on, but, yeah. That's the big old game news. I filibustered there. Because this next segment, we're probably going to cut and make its own thing, because let's capitalize on those dank dollars.
The excitement on the dank, those dank gay animation dollars.
Oh, before we do that, we're going to Netflix. I want to put a shout out to Patriot Act by Hasan Minhaj. Dope ass show, super dope. It's good to see a brown person having like a individual show, especially on Netflix. Very funny, very informative, very well written. It's about like political stuff and also regular stuff. You know, he did oil, Saudi Arabia, Amazon, Supreme, you know, like the brand Supreme, and like affirmative action is as well. So, but you're watching Netflix for a different reason, right?
I am.
Spill some thoughts.
As one may or may not know, the Noelle Stevenson-Helms She-Ra and the Princesses of Power came out last week. Last week.
Yeah, I think it was last week, because I didn't even realize it was out.
And it is wonderful. It's 13 episodes right now. They're apparently signed up for a 52-episode run, at least. Like, four seasons of 13. Which I'm very excited about, because it's just a really enjoyable show. Like, a lot of the people who have been talking about the show are couching it in their experience with She-Ra Princess of Power, which was the original show from, like, the 80s. I have never seen a single moment of that.
Neither have I.
And I don't plan to.
I'm honestly surprised anyone would care about, like, how it was changed.
Yeah. But, so She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, which is the new show, is like, I guess from what I've heard, it starts from the same starting point where there's a girl named Adora who has been raised as part of the Horde, which is like the like colonizing army of this universe.
The evil Horde. Then
it's the evil Horde. They don't call themselves that, but
everyone else does.
And she has never questioned her role in the Horde, or what, like, the rightness of what they're doing, and until she gets lost in the woods one day and finds a magical sword that allows her to transform into a legendary heroine named She-Ra. And while living this adventure, she sees the Horde attacking a town that she had been told was like a highly like fortified rebel fortress, but is in fact just like a
homestead.
Yeah, like a homestead, like a civilian, like peaceful settlement. So, begins to realize that the Horde is bad. as an understatement, and defects to like the Rebel Alliance, which is led by the city of Brightmoon. But the Alliance has kind of fallen apart in the last generation. There was, like, they had lost a big battle, and it used to be that there were all the princesses of the various realms of the planet of Etheria had come together to fight the Horde. And they no longer, no longer have that alliance. So Bright Moon is just kind of doing it on their own. But with the return of legendary Princess She-Ra, and Princess is like used in a weird way in the show. Like, it means like a ruler, but it also means like a person with magical powers. Like, being a princess implies that you have some sort of power, to an extent. So, She-Ra, like Adora slash She-Ra, goes on a mission with her new friends from Bright Moon to rebuild the Princess Alliance, so that there's a better chance of fighting against the Horde, and that comes with mixed success. Like there are ups and downs between like how she interacts with the other girls, but the big conflict of the show is that when she defected from the Horde, she left her best friend Catra behind, and Catra is a more complicated character because she, is a complicated character in that she, like, when Adora's like, what the Horde is doing is evil, she's like, yeah, I know, like, but they've given me opportunities that I wouldn't have otherwise, and I am good at, like, I'm good at what I do here. And so she, like, and like over the course of the show, it's very clear that like Catra feels deeply betrayed by, like, in a personal way, by Adora leaving. Not like has nothing to do with like belief systems. It's just like, my best friend left me for these new people, and like, I'm bitter about it, but I'm also not going to acknowledge that because that would be mean dealing with my feelings.
Ooh.
And there are other side plots and twists and turns and different characters, but it's very wonderful. There's a lot of heart to it. There's a lot of, like I found myself like very just like on edge, like in the last like five episodes of the season are all very high stakes, and I was like, at one point I was like, I have to go to bed. I can't stay up and keep watching this. I'm too keyed up. I can't carry on with this tonight. Like,
you said the last five episodes?
Yeah, like, it was like the episode that like is getting like all of the play on the internet right now is Princess Prom, which is the seventh episode.
Okay.
Which is, there's like this big kind of like the big party that all of the princesses are traditionally invited to that is neutral ground. That Adora and her friends go to the party in order to try to recruit the princess hosting it. But there's like one of the captains in the Horde is from a princess family, so she's considered a princess. So she got an invite to the same dance, and so she brings Catra with her as her plus one. And so like there's all the like shenanigans of like Adora is certain that Catra is up to something, but it's neutral ground, so like, and she, so if she starts a fight or like is, and like Catra is like the cat that ate the canary, like, not like, I'm totally like the face of innocence, like, I've done nothing wrong, like, I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm just here at this party, like, Adora's just like being judgmental and ruining the peace of this party. But like, so, like, to pull back for a second, like, one of the things that is, I wouldn't say evident about the show, but, like, if someone told you, you wouldn't be surprised kind of thing, is that the showrunners are mostly women, or, like, that the show creators are mostly women, and that Noelle, the showrunner, is a lesbian. Like,
well, you could tell that. Yeah, that's obvious. I mean,
yeah, like, there's a lot of...
Especially if you've been consuming, like, male-created media for, like, the last however many years of your life, or straight-created media, like, it's mm-hmm. It's instant right away.
Yeah, it's just, like, there's a lot of, like, there's different body types, like, She-Ra, when she transforms, isn't, like, a Barbie doll, like, and obviously, like, the original show was created to sell dolls, like, person that She-Ra and all of the other characters had the exact same figure, like Barbie doll figure, is because...
Yeah, that was more of a... I mean, everything's political, but that was more of like a statement of... That wasn't a political statement, and artistically, the political statement was, we need to look exactly like toys. That was the statement. Like, it had ramifications, but there wasn't
a... Yeah, that was like... It was the 80s. Reagan had just, like, deregulated what could be advertised on television, and
it was... It's a big thing. You should look it up.
Yeah, and, like, that's why there... You had He-Man and G.I. Joe and She-Ra and all these other shows that were, like, just commercials for doll, for action figures or dolls. But, like, the characters in the show, in this new show, have, like, very different body types, like, a wide variety of, skin tones and, like, designs and, like, even when She-Ra transforms, like, her build is, like, and there's been, like, all of the hoopla about, like, her having shorts underneath, but, like, the thing that sticks out to me more is that she has a more, like, athletic, like, wrestler kind of build than...
She looks a lot different when she transforms.
She does. Because Adora's, like, a strong person, but she gets, like, 8 feet tall and, like, buff.
Yeah, I think, like, she's already, like, what I noticed when I saw the first episode, like, she has, like, muscular arms, like, in general, which is always a good look in general. Like, it also makes sense for somebody who is, you know, athletic. But when... I remember all those people had the nonsense about, like, oh, she doesn't look feminine anymore. I'm like, so I was watching, I'm like, yeah, this definitely looks a lot better when, like, when it's moving. Like, animation, you have to, you know, it looks good when it's animated.
Yeah.
Like, when she transforms, you see that first shot of her, I'm like, oh, she legitimately looks different than she just did. Like, this isn't a... All the statements weren't even about Adora. They were about literally about She-Ra, which I find fascinating that they changed... her, like, art. That's kind of a cool thing. Also, yeah, but saying that the character was not feminine is, like, such a stretch and a ridiculous thing to say. Like, it's patently false. Like, her hair is, like, real flowing and all that stuff. Like, all the signifiers are there other than, like...
And, like, defined boobs, like...
Yeah, like, I guess
that's literally the only thing, like...
Yeah, and, like... Yeah, I guess that's about it, because even then, like, I don't see any reason why you would think this character, like, wasn't... Like, if you went by, like, basic, stereotypical things, you know, especially, like, long hair and, like, flowing clothes from the get-go, I mean, that's not what genders boil down to, but if, you know, you're one of the people that would boil gender down to that, the signifiers are there, is what I mean. Is that a play on Sailor Moon? Because I read something that, like, when the Sailor Scouts transformed, they were supposed to be, like, a little older in their transformations, like, artistically. Is that real?
I don't know. I've never heard that, but I wouldn't discount it entirely. The transformation sequence is definitely inspired by Sailor Moon. Like, it's very much, like, kind of, like, that magical girl, like, second out of time, like, hair... Like first you see her get bigger, and then, like, her hair flows and, like covers her face, and when it pulls back, like, she has, like, the crown on, and, like, her boots get, like, change, and, like, all of that. Like, it's very, like, classic magical girl transformation sequence. But, like, I think the cool thing about it is that, like, is that there's all this, like, diversity of body type and all of that, and I don't trust that a male showrunner would have brought the same, like, mindset to the, like, to the series.
I think I don't think a male showrunner would have done that for a reboot of something like She-Ra. Maybe for an original show, I'll extend.
Like, for an original show,
but, like, for a reboot, no. Well,
yeah, it is.
I don't. With a predominantly female cast, I don't know. Because I was gonna go with, like, the Thundercats reboot as, like, sort of a sign of, like, people are willing to draw characters slightly differently. Mm-hmm. But that's not, like, a majority female cast, so I don't know if I can extend that latitude.
Yeah, because I mean, like, the, but, like, jumping off of the diversity thing, there are so far just, like, one queer couple kind of the background, like couple that are Yeah, it's like the, and like they don't play a big role in the show until the finale. Spinnerella and Natasa, but they are like pretty explicitly queer. Like they always have their arms around each other and they call each other darling. So like, not subtle. But like the big pairing that unshockingly has come out of it is Adora and Catra, because like I feel like so listeners, Dom and I have been having like a long conversation like offline, as they say at my office, even though it is via the internet, about like femme slash versus dude slash and like why there's more of it and why like women gravitate towards male slash and all this. And I feel like to some extent She-Ra is the exception that proves the rule, because Adora and Catra are so well developed and their relationship is so complex and there's so much meat there to like to really sink your teeth into that. Well, like
I can tell you the reason though, Steph. We don't have to get that deep. I'm looking at the poster for it and there's just not two white dudes. That's why there's no male ship. That's the reason.
Well, there, I mean, like there definitely is a male ship. Like people definitely ship Bo and Seahawk the pirate, but like the preeminent ship of the series. But like also there's like reason to ship them too. Like they like they have like some affectionate moments, but like it's wild that as soon as you introduce like two female characters who have that kind of like meaty relationship that is fodder for a slash pairing or like any kind of fanfic pairing, like that people latch on to it like immediately. Like it's just like it's almost as if like the reason people aren't writing Avengers slash is because there are no women who have complex interactions with each other in the entire MCU. Like,
oh yeah, that's easy though. That's obvious. that's cheating. That's not a good comparison. That's obvious. Like, Black Panther. Does anyone ship the two female leads from Black Panther?
Shuri and Nakia. Or like,
sorry, no.
The general, like Okoye and Nakia.
There's three, so that's. I've been drinking. does anyone ship those characters? Like Shuri, and Nakia, and Okoye. Like,
not that I've seen, but also I haven't gone diving into Black Panther fandom because I feel like the bulk of it is, Killmonger, T'Challa, and like as much as I sometimes have a garbage taste in fanfic, but. Like, that particular one ship didn't appeal to me as much.
They didn't have a lot of...
Interaction?
They also didn't have, like, rival tension either, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as much as I hate, like, the enemies-turned-lovers thing, I at least see that tension in, like, Goku Vegeta or Widow Tracer. But, like, Killmonger and T'Challa were just like, oh, we're enemies because of ideals. Like, we don't necessarily dislike each other even. Like,
yeah. We just have different opinions about how this has to happen.
In fact, we don't even really disagree other than like, dog, don't go kill a whole bunch of white people. Like, yo, but this is their fault. Okay, bro, like
it's like
okay,
you're not wrong. Like, I just don't kill them for it.
I just don't
like,
think we should go on a warpath. Which is fine. I would have assumed most of the fanfic is gonna be Shuri Bucky because, you know, but that feels,
of course, yeah.
But that also feels like that even feels more justified than any other ship.
Yeah.
Other than like Okoye and Wakabi. Yeah.
But yeah, the
I liked Bo.
That's like the next episode I was gonna jump to. It was like
I didn't think I would. I really didn't think I would like the character.
Like, well, the thing I like about him is that, like, even though he's kind of the token guy character, there really is only one other noteworthy guy in the series, like, as a supporting character, and then, like, Hordak, who is not, like, is mostly just, like, on a screen. He's, like, the Horde leader. But, like, for me, like, and, like, you can speak to this whether or not you agree, but, like, I liked that, like, that he, being the only major male character, like, is a black guy. It is a black guy who wears a crop top and is, like, comfortable with his feelings and, like, has like just like a very healthy relationship with his emotions.
Yeah, so that's probably a, I haven't got that far. I only watched the first episode. I was gonna watch more, but I was playing video games. And from his first appearance on screen, I feel like they hit, like, I can't speak to anything else, but my fear is always when you have a black guy in a show, especially when it's like a token guy character, is that I understand why you'd want to, but I feel like there's gonna be this effort to make the character quote unquote safe.
Yeah.
Which obviously you want a safe friend. I'm not saying that, and especially in real life scenarios, this goes out the window in real life, but in fiction it's a little bit different. But I would feel like you're gonna make him safe in a way that's like kind of comes off as black guys are dangerous if they're not this sterilized version of a character, you know what I mean? In the sense mm-hmm. that, oh, you know, like, you know, he's wearing a crop top, it has sort of a heart motif, you know what I mean? He's like an emotional mm-hmm. guy, which are all fine qualities. I'm not deriding them, but my fear is always like, oh, are you going to take away, like, especially if you have a lot of male characters in the show, are you going to have a lot of characters that have what we consider masculine traits, even non-toxic masculine traits, but this be the character where he's allowed to be safe, you know what I mean? Almost in a way that kind of removes some of your blackness, because that's what's seen as the dangerous part. Like, they have to make you safe. I don't know how to express it the most. It's coming from a queer man who's like, who cross-dresses a lot for all of his cosplay, so it's not really about that. so it's, I don't know the best way to say it. So I was afraid, like, oh, are they going to make him like a coward character? Or are they going to make him be like a... Like, I don't know, like, too much of a stereotype in a different direction. And just from the first scene, like, I don't know if it's possibly because of his voice or because, like, the way that he made jokes or whatever. But, oh, yeah, this guy seems dope, and I want to know everything about him, and I want him to be happy. And, you know, he seemed capable, but he didn't seem like I'm the guy, so I have to save everybody. Like, I just remember the scene of, like, him and Glimmer. Is her name Glimmer?
Glimmer, yeah.
Glimmer, trying to, like, get the sword in the beginning. You know, just kind of, like, hijinks kind of a thing. I'm like, okay, cool, yeah, that's fine. Like, I guess I would compare... He seemed like a cool version of Tucker from Danny Phantom if I had to compare him to another, like, token black mm-hmm. character. And there's, like, pals. They're friends. That's just a guy, you know what I mean? So I liked the half an hour that he was in. And I want to watch more, but I like that he has a ton of different arrows, and I like that he, like, seems to make a little bit of jokes, and he's not any type of stereotype one way or another, so that made me happy.
Yeah, as a longtime Hawkeye fan, I loved all of the different trick arrows. Like,
yes, that was cool. And I'm waiting for people to cross him over with Hanzo. Stylistically, of course.
Yeah, they both, like, we were talking about this, they both don't, like, wear a whole shirt, and they're archers with, like, kind of trick arrows. Like, Scattershot feels like a trick arrow kind of thing.
Yeah, but you don't have that no more.
Oh, they took it away?
It was super busted. It was so bad. We're past the comp talk, but I can go on a rant about that one day about how bad Scatter Arrow was. but he still has, like, a sonic arrow that lets you, like, see people through walls, and he has, like, other arrow stuff. And I guess his mm-hmm. dragons are a trick arrow to a degree. So, you know. His tricks. Aww. Tricks in part shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just, like... Like, the... I feel like the thing to, like... to, like, move, like, scuttle sideways, like, towards, like, a different She-Ra topic, like, that's similar to clothes. Okay. Like, I think the thing that, like, the most gay thing about 13 episodes that were, like, fairly queer in, like, aesthetic and vibe, is that Catra wears a tux to the princess prom.
That's very gay.
And... like, it is a very charged episode, my friend. Like, she dances with Adora, and there's, like, this, like, dramatic dip where, like, Adora's, like, kind of blushing, and Catra's, like, leaning over her with this smirk, and, like, it's my desktop background right now, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. So I feel like... So let me ask. They never explicitly...
The untied tie, like...
So direct. So they don't ever explicitly have them come out as, like, a couple or anything, right?
No, they're just very close best friends, but it's, right. like, a very, like, kind of Steve Bucky vibe, where, like, there's, like, a blonde hero and, like, a brunette anti-hero, like...
Well, the brown, like, one's, our... the brown one's the butchier one, right?
The brown one's the butchier one?
Yeah, she...
What?
We said the
brown... Alicia has, like, the poofy hair and stuff, yeah.
Say it again?
You said butchier, right?
Butch.
Butcher one.
Butcher,
I said
yes.
Butchy. I was like...
No.
I was like, what does that mean? Yeah, but
she's
yeah.
She's a cat that hides in bushes, I guess. I don't know. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That wasn't the goal when I started saying this sentence, but here I am. No,
Here you are.
The more butch
but yeah, one. she's like the butcher one of the two of them, but like...
And she's the brown one. Hey, let's get this hat trick going, baby. That's totally a thing.
Yeah,
that's totally a thing.
In my perfect universe, like in the like if we only have four seasons, because like obviously they're not like there's no resolution between them by the end of this season.
But I think that's like, when you intend to like whether they were going to get greenlit or not, they intended on having more seasons, I bet. Especially if this season doesn't resolve perfectly. 13 episodes is a short time, so I don't feel like it's queer baiting. Like, we had this topic before.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't feel at all like it's queer baiting, because, like, it feels like the story is just at a point, like, it's just like a cliffhanger, like,
yeah, ship,
the relationship
ship
is still evolving.
Ship baiting is not as bad when it's like, hey, this is the will they won't they is going on between these two. It's, we just have to, like, do a bunch of legwork, because 13 episodes is not a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of legwork for building their relationship in those 13 episodes. Like, there's a lot of, like, this is one of the most complex relationships between two female characters that I think that I've ever seen on.
I mean, I saw Catra sleep at the bottom of Adora's bed. I'm like, that's interesting. Like, that's a nice cat pun, but that's also pretty interesting.
You're cutting in and out, homie.
Sorry about that. I remember... In the first episode, like, Catra was, like, curled up at the bottom of Adora's bed, like...
Curled up at the end of her bed,
like,
yeah.
I know that's a cat joke, but, like, come on. That's not a cat
yeah,
joke, like...
Yeah, like, that says so much about their relationship in, like, one shot, like...
Yeah, like, I feel like... do you have to follow up on that, even? Could you, like... You have plausible deniability. People, like, you were queer baiting, where, like, they were on the same cot thing.
It's a cat.
And one's a cat, like... If they ever get together, that's still how she's gonna sleep, because she's a cat.
Yeah. Like,
what a world.
Like, in my perfect world, like, by, like, the end of season two, they'll have reconciled, and then season three, like, she'll be, like, the Vegeta, like, the, like, character that no one trusts except Adora, like, recently reconciled bad guy that, like, and then maybe by the end of the show, they'll get together.
Yeah. Well, season three is gonna be the... The season ends with her thinking she was betrayed, but it was really a bad guy doing something, and she didn't have a choice or, like, didn't actually do it kind of thing. So the people think they're broken up, but psych! They didn't.
Like, it's just storytelling.
Which is fine when, you know, like, we trust Noelle Stevenson not to screw us around like that. That might not be the ship we
some
get.
The person on this earth that I trusted to not queer bait me.
Now, that doesn't, like, so... It will appear to be queer baiting at one point, but it actually was just ship baiting, and you get a different queer ship. Is the worst case scenario I see
it's
on that.
It's like foreshadowing, yeah, like.
Kind of like.
At worst,
like,
it's ship baiting. Possibly, it's just foreshadowing, like.
Well, I meant like I feel like worst case scenario is that we're like, oh man, you know, it really seems like Adora and Catra gets together, and like, no, they each get together with different girls. Like, well, I guess that's not queer baiting. It's just not the ship I wanted, which is still fine. I don't know. I don't know. It's something.
Yeah.
Anything else we have to say on that? It looks pretty. The art's...
No, yeah.
Art's doable.
Like, definitely recommend, like, highly, highly recommend a watch. I am the only person I know right now who has watched all of it. Literally killing me. Because I
mean, I
just want someone to yell about it with.
There's so,
like,
much good stuff out right now. It's the end of the
I
year.
I know,
push.
Like, I understand that it's difficult, but...
I still have to watch Hilda.
I just...
It is hella old. I'll catch up, I promise.
Please do.
I'm not like watching reruns of anything else. I mean, Criminal Minds, like, to go to bed, but like, I'm not watching anything else. Yeah, I wish all like the murder shows like didn't have the murder, just they had the crime solving part, because that's the good stuff. Anything else we need to talk about? Is everything decent in the world, like, compared to last week? Has anything gotten worse? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, part of the world's literally on fire, but question. Like, I mean, anything that we know right off the top of our head? I don't think. Oh, yeah,
hey!
This what? Makes me smile in a sad way, and then we can close out. It's not nerdy at all, but wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if you ran a political campaign, and one of your talking points was, my opponent is bad at email, and then fast forward 2 years, your daughter's like, bro, I'm also bad at email. Wouldn't that be some funny shit? That'd be great, right, Steph?
That'd be wild. I can't imagine anything like that happening in our country. My America.
Also, people are talking about square dancing again. I feel like this comes up every few years. Did you see that post going around Twitter or Facebook? Also, Facebook, stop stealing posts from Twitter. It's tacky.
Seriously?
But yeah, people are like, why do we learn square dancing in like fourth grade everywhere? Turns out Harry Ford was a massive racist, hated jazz, and thought the Jews were behind jazz and were trying to screw up white values.
Music, or something?
Yeah, he thought Jewish people invented jazz music to subvert the white
culture. That's to fuck with music.
But like, first off, no they didn't, that's stupid. Second off, black people invented jazz. Third off, I don't think that's why we did it. I'm pretty sure we're just like, oh, we can't be somewhere, we're just gonna make music. And it just became popular. He's like, well, if they square dance, they'll be happy with traditional values. So yeah, that's why we learned square dancing in school.
Wild.
It's just a funny story to learn, because who would ever think that?
Henry Ford is so terrible.
I mean, he's one of our presidents.
Scale of one to terrible, Henry Ford was way up there.
Yeah, we had a lot of bad presidents, and it's like, you know what? It's funny, like, we think about H.P. Lovecraft too, right? And the reason I bring that up is people are like, well, this guy was a product of his time, right? Like, you look at somebody like our founding fathers, where some of them are like, slavery's not good, but I'm still gonna have slaves. And you're like, you're probably an evil person. I'm not gonna excuse you for being a product of your time, but I can see somebody making that argument. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna excuse it, but I could follow the logic of that argument. What I always laugh at is when someone's like, oh no, this guy was considered racist at the time.
Yeah, it's like, no, people really were not about this guy, even when he was, like, his contemporaries were not into this.
And when you brought up Ford, that reminded me of H.P. Lovecraft, who was, like, was a massive racist. You knew that, right? I feel like you would have known that.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I definitely knew that. He's wildly racist.
Did you know the name of his cat?
His cat? Yes.
Was it, what, N-Word Man or something like that?
Man.
That's so bad. And it's like, I don't even have a good joke about that that doesn't make me seem like a jerk. I just want to, like, just say something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just bad.
It's just one of those things where people are like, he's a product of his time. People are like, no, he was a massive racist and homophobe by his standard, like, his time standard. People are like, yo, man, like, I don't think black people should drink from our water fountains, but, like, they're still people, bro. It's like, if anyone ever forms their mouth to say that statement to you, maybe pump the brakes a little bit. And that kind of puts his fans of color or queer fans in sort of a bind, because he wrote about things like alienation that kind of resonate with those people, because they were othered for so long that they resonate with themes of being the other. It's kind of messed up, like most of culture. But, you know, it's interesting. Soapbox is over. Anything else we want to talk about, Steph? We want to wrap this puppy up.
Let's wrap this friend up. We've gone on for a hot min here.
This is a classic long one, but we're probably going to cut the She-Ra part out and package it separately.
Make that a whole separate thing.
Yeah, so basically release the data twice, but, you know, give people convenience. Steph, my third try. Do you want to tell people where they can find us?
Yeah, I got this. Thank you. I have two drinks.
Oh shit.
So, you can find any of us, any of the two of us, on the internet. You can find me yelling about She-Ra on Twitter. That's at Captain Steph. You can find me on Tumblr at The Snow Queer. You can find me on Instagram at Hella Steph. You can find Dom on everywhere at Brother Dom. You can find our podcast on the internet at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find it on the Apple iTunes store, as well as any other podcast catcher by searching for Character Reveal. You'll see those blue curtains. You'll know what's up. Find us on Facebook by searching for Character Reveal. You can find us on Twitter at Character Rev. That's two R's in the middle, Character R-E-V. We're going to try to be a little more active on there. And, like, all of our social medias, just to, like, build a presence, you know, see more of us, get in your head.
Yeah, especially with the holidays coming up, I think we're going to be able to post a lot of cool stuff, like, just the way the time works out, you know?
Yeah, and, if anyone's listening and has, like, our holiday episode will be coming up in a couple weeks, that's when we always get pretty sloshed and do an episode, so if you have any questions or anything you'd like us to answer for that episode, get them coming. Hopefully we can, between whatever geeky stuff is happening the week of Christmas and also those questions, we can get a decent episode out for you.
Yeah, we like to do, like, mostly questions, so any questions you may have, that's gonna be, we have like, probably, what, a few more weeks with the content?
And it'll 3 weeks, probably, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we do it, like, you know, for the end of the year / all the holidays. It's not specific to any one holiday. Like, we like to be open to everybody. So
inclusive holiday people.
I mean,
and then we both celebrate Christmas.
we both celebrate Christmas, but, like, if I was ever invited to a party of another denomination, I'd show up and respect your norms and participate in the traditions. You know, sometimes
I observe
Kwanzaa, but I don't celebrate it, you know.
Mm-hmm. My roommate's Jewish, so, like, right now we have our, we have, like, a Hanukkah star up on the front door, but we haven't pulled any of the Christmas stuff out yet, because it's still not Thanksgiving.
When's Hanukkah this year?
The 2nd through the 10th.
Okay, it's actually almost Hanukkah time, like, that's, okay. I thought it was closer to, I was gonna say, isn't it still early for that? Like, nope, that's about time. Okay, 2nd to the 10th. I will keep that in mind.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
I think that's all the deets. If you want to hit us up on Patreon, that's patreon.com/characterreveal. Thank you to anyone and everyone who does do that thing. Yep. And if you don't have money to help us out, you could always just leave us a review in the iTunes store.
Reviews, those retweets, stars, likes, faves, reblogs while Tumblr still exists.
You can find us in the iTunes store, but you can't find Tumblr right now.
Oh no, neither can they. Steph, I think I'm tired. I want to play video games. We done here?
Sounds good. I think we're done here.
Awesome. Hey, listeners, we love you. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Geekly Reveal. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.